of Danny and Gallant, 710 ESPN, a Seahawks insider as well. We get the Seahawks side of things in this big matchup Sunday at 1 p.m. Danny, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
You know, Danny, I was talking about this yesterday. It's amazing to me. You know, I know, you know, for a lot of the country, Seattle is way out there, right? So maybe that's why this happens. But the Seahawks have been on the national stage quite a bit in recent years, maybe a little less the last couple of years than they were the few years before that. But I still believe, even though he's finally getting his due, I still believe Russell Wilson is the most underrated quarterback in the league. I believe Chris Carson is the most underrated running back in the league. Nobody outside of Seattle and fantasy football players has heard of Will Disley. Some of those skill, they got some good guys there that nobody talks about nationally.
Yeah, I think it's because they've lost some of the bigger personalities.
Yeah,
like there was Beast Mode, who was such a powerful runner, and or he wouldn't talk to the media, but everybody loved to pay attention to him. There was a guy, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He'll occasionally make up stuff, like he'll say something didn't happen that video will show did happen, and right. He'll use it to motivate.
Oh,
himself,
I wonder apparently. Who that guy is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a cornerback that won't shut up. So there's a certain amount of their personality is much more muted than it was.
Yeah.
This was a really confident, brash team back in 2013 and 2014 when they won the Super Bowl, went back to the Super Bowl the following season. The personality of this team is much different now, and it's much more understated. And even though they're 4-1, they certainly don't have the national profile that they did 5 years ago.
Does this team take on the identity of Russell Wilson? Because he seems to have that kind of approach where he just goes about his business. He's a great leader. He doesn't, like, take shots at anybody. He kind of is like the model citizen for any quarterback, right?
Yeah, I think it does take on Russell's personality. I also think there's something about a team that is defense-oriented, where the defense is the signature of that team, I think it's going to be a little louder. I think defense works with mayhem, right? Like, you want to turn everything up, and everything's louder, and everything's more aggressive, and we're going to hit harder. And when you've got a team that's built around an offense, well, mayhem doesn't work. That's why the quarterback and everybody's always like, shh, quieting down the crowd. And I think the fact this team's strength, there's no doubt that Seattle's offense right now is better than its defense. And so I think that the personality does inevitably change. And look, Russell's fairly boring and very programmed. For a guy who is as innovative and creative in the context of a game as Russell is, in making plays and breaking contain and all the things he does, he is extremely programmed when it comes to off the field. That's worked for him. There's a little bit of me, and I would say it's like a quarter of me, that wonders that if the Seahawks will be as good now that they're not as volatile, that they, part of the reason, they certainly managed a lot of turmoil, but I think in some cases the turmoil that they went through before kind of helped them, that they kind of rode that emotional edge. And I'm not sure if a more boring Seahawks team is going to end up being a better Seahawks team, but they certainly do reflect Russell's personality.
Well, he's a quarter of the way to the MVP. He certainly gave me that conversation. Why has he even been even better this year? I mean, he's always been an elite quarterback, but he seems to have been – he's even better this year.
His ability to make big plays while avoiding mistakes. The fact – I'm not sure which of these three stats is most impressive, but the fact that they're all occurring is incredible. He's got 12 touchdown passes and no interceptions.
Yep.
His completion percentage is 72.9%. And his average per attempt is 9 yards.
Ooh.
There are guys whose completion percentage will get up there, but usually those are offenses that feature quick passing game.
Right.
He hucks the ball downfield, and he still doesn't throw picks, and he completes an incredibly high percentage of his passes. That's why if there was a slugging percentage statistic for quarterbacks, he would be leading the league by far with that, because he throws it downfield and he completes a high percentage of passes, and there's nothing cheap about his completion percentage.
We're talking with Danny O'Neill from Seattle, 710 ESPN. Danny, you mentioned the offense is ahead of the defense. You know, we're used to the Seahawks being good at getting to the quarterback and obviously being strong in the secondary. They only have 10 sacks in 5 games. The Browns have had a problem protecting against really good defensive lines as they struggled against San Francisco. What do you make of that matchup? The Browns' shaky offensive line against the Seahawks team that hasn't really gotten to the quarterback all that effectively.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I guess it's a view from afar because I thought Cleveland had a pretty good offensive line last year.
They did. Well, they traded Kevin Zeitler, their right guard, as part of the Beckham and
the Vernon deal.
Yeah.
But I thought that's definitely hurt them, but I thought they were going to withstand that. I'm surprised that they've taken a step back, and I guess I'm surprised that Seattle's offensive line hasn't been better, too. I think that's certainly going to be, can Seattle's pass rush get going? They didn't really hit Goff at all in the Thursday night game. Some of that's the nature of how that offense was called, though, that the ball was coming out pretty quick there. If Seattle is able to consistently get pressure off of the edge, specifically with Clowney and Ansa, and then they've got an interior pass rusher who's Quentin Jefferson, who's been a problem for opponents this season. If they can get pass pressure, that's going to be that will be the key to their success. The vulnerability they have is the back end of that defense. Their secondary does not tackle particularly well. And when you're talking about two receivers like Landry and Beckham, who are as dangerous after the catch as they are, and Callaway is an explosive player as well, I would think that, and that's probably going to make the pass rush even more important, because if you're putting that secondary in position where it has to keep everything in front and make tackles, I think Cleveland should be able to get some big plays out of that.
Any concern with the travel and the early kickoff start coming from Seattle?
Not really. I think there's a little. It's a little bit neutralized because Cleveland's also coming back. Did they fly back after the game on Monday night?
Yes,
they probably got back around daybreak.
Yeah.
I think that mutes it. It's certainly, historically, it's tougher for West Coast teams with that early kickoff. But I think Seattle, having come off a Thursday night game, I think that will mute some of the disadvantage that there'll be. But there's certainly been instances where it seemed like Seattle has come out flat.
We were talking a minute ago about the problems the Browns have had up front. Seattle's not great up front either. How have they been able, you're talking about some of the numbers Russell's been able to put up. He's doing it in front of a line that's not really helping him out a whole lot, it doesn't seem. How have they been able to mitigate some of the problems they've had up front and him still be able to thrive like this? Because that's obviously a question Cleveland hasn't figured out yet.
The biggest point is that Russell's able to create and buy time back there. And I think that the fact that he extends plays, it essentially gives them two cracks at every play. They get the scripted play as called, and then if either the protection breaks down or no one's open on that, Russell is willing to push and move around. Aaron Donald certainly created some problems, and I actually think that Seattle matches up better against Aaron Donald than they do against Myles Garrett, because Justin Britt, their center, is one of their better offensive linemen, and he was able to help at times with Donald. I expect you're going to see Myles Garrett matched up an awful lot with Jermaine Ifedi. And Ifedi's probably the biggest question mark, especially in terms of pass protection. Dwayne Brown, who's a great left tackle, he's dealing with a sore biceps. He's playing, but he's limited in practice, so I think that is a factor. But I would sit and watch. Russell, they count on Russell to do an awful lot to get out of trouble that his offensive line drops right in his lap. And Russell's pretty remarkable, but there are times, and any quarterback, you make a move around enough, you see their eyes start to come down, and you see that they're not looking downfield as much because they're worried about buying time for themselves. But Russell's as good as anybody at, while he moves to create time, still looking downfield.
Danny, wanted to ask you about a couple of young players there. DK Metcalf, who's obviously was a second-round pick, and then last year's first-round pick, Rashad Penny. What is the future for these guys, and what is the upside for both of them?
Upside for Metcalf is huge. I'm amazed at how quickly he's caught on. I really thought he had a long-term project written all over him. Guy with great size, great speed, but not a lot of college productivity. And he's been someone who is their second-best receiver. Tyler Lockett is their top threat, and DK Metcalf is number two. Will Disley is a guy that will get some opportunities in large part because teams overlook him because he's not the fastest. He has pretty good hands. But DK Metcalf is a big play threat. Penny's a different story. Penny, they love his size-speed combination. He looks for cutbacks too much. He's someone that, man, he goes into the gap, and it looks like he's looking to cut everything back for the big play. And right now, that's essentially what he is. He's Seattle's big play running back threat. You probably expect him to touch it five or six times a game. But long-term future, I don't know. He's clearly not as good as Chris Carson. Chris Carson is a much better, much more complete back in pretty much just about every way. So we'll see if Penny's able to emerge. But so far this season, he's got eyes for the cutback way too much.
Hey, by the way, Danny, my partner thinks your backup quarterback is better than your starting quarterback.
No, I didn't say that. Danny.
He's a Geno apologist over here.
I've been a Geno apologist. I remain steadfast that one day when he gets his opportunity, he's going to take somebody. No, I don't know. I have to give it up at some point.
He's going to take somebody to a 4-12 record?
I don't know. I think he's whatever.
Is Geno an adequate backup
he's
quarterback?
An adequate backup.
That's the question.
He is.
You think he is, Danny?
Yeah, he's an yes. He's not Teddy Bridgewater, and nobody's going to mistake him for that.
Yeah.
Could he win you two of the four games if Russell Wilson's out? Maybe. I think especially with Seattle's offense.
Yeah.
I think they should just say if Russell were to get hurt, they should just bring in an option quarterback. Who wouldn't want to see that? Rather
That'd be
than
awesome.
Like kind of below average, substandard pro pocket passer.
Yeah.
Bring in somebody to just flat out
bring
run the
Tebow.
Option.
Like, go get Tebow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Why not? Who's going to be? I think it would give you as good a chance to go 500 as it would if you were going with, well, he's not good enough to be anybody's starter, but at least he can competently take a snap from under center.
Pat White's still out there? That's a throwback.
Oh, man. All right, Danny, before we let you go, we've talked about how the Browns have been so inconsistent. They you know, played an okay game against the Rams, were terrible offensively, hung in there. And they look great against the Ravens. They looked terrible last week against the Niners. My partner's confident that the Seahawks that the Browns are going to win this week. I'm not as confident.
I think it's a tough spot for Seattle. I mean, listen, it's a pick'em game.
Yeah,
but I think
it's a toss-up.
You know, this league is funny, right? I mean, everyone thinks that the Browns stink now.
Yeah,
and it's still a pick'em game. I think the Browns bounce back, but who knows?
What do you think, Danny? What do you make of the game?
I've seen this is sort of what they talk about as the makeable putt. Like you're walking up there, Seahawks are headed to the green. It's 15 feet. Like if you make the putt, you're not going to do some big Tiger Woods fist pump to celebrate like you just turned it around. Like if you're going to have a good round, this is the kind of putt you need to knock down. But you know it's going to be difficult, and you can easily see them missing it. I think the kind of loss the Browns suffered on Monday night is one of the easier types to come back from. I think it's way harder to bounce back if you've lost by 20 by a last second. Play going either way. Either you fail to score, the other team scores, or if you blow a 20-point lead, getting your butt kicked, I think that's relatively easy to bounce back from. I still think the Seahawks are going to win because I do think that pass rush is going to wake up, but I think it's going to be close, and I think it's going to be a score in the final 4 minutes that decides it.
Danny, we appreciate the time,
Thanks, man.
Thanks for joining
us. I appreciate you guys having me.
You got it. Danny O'Neill, Coach Danny Gallant, 710 ESPN. When we come back,
now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.